Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah. I also got the sweetest thing you could possibly have, which is to win a bet with a close personal friend and then just get to chow down on a great burger, Teasers, and a milkshake just right in his face. It was so good.
It sounds delicious.
Well, it was, and it was like, it's one of those things where you have a really good burger. You're like, I could almost go for two, but I'm not going to because we're not 20 anymore. But we're not.
That has not stopped you in the last however many years.
Actually, it has.
Come on.
Yeah. Like, there are.
Why'd you not get a second one? Come on.
Because it was, one, we're already feeling a little down about a bum foot. And two,
All the more reason.
Well, no, so I can hobble harder. So yes. I can put more pressure on my bum
foot.
So
you're happier.
You have to
balance your pros and cons. The foot, obviously, pretty big con right now. A second burger, that would have been a big pro for you.
All right, I want you to talk at my funeral now. Just so you can say, we'll play this on air, and then you have to defend it in front of a church full of people. Like, and Danny was part of my decline.
And I will say you lived a happier life because of it.
As Vanessa's just weeping in the front row.
Can
you weigh in
everybody
on something? Did Daryl take the fattest picture of me possible as revenge for me beating him in the burger bet about Guardians wins?
Yeah, when you're taking photos, angles can either be your friend or your worst enemy. And Daryl made sure that the angle of that photo is your worst enemy. Not just the angle, but also in the second photo he posted. And I know you were doing this purposefully, but the facial expression that you made, you could not have looked heavier than you did in that photo.
So that one I'm okay with because I did that to myself.
Sure.
I knew that. But the way that I was positioned in the truck where I was like kind of tilted, but not really. What I should have done is angles are our friends. I should have
enemies.
Tilted my hips and basically been square with him. Because here's the thing, I look immense from a lot of different angles, but I look least immense when you see me head on, right? When it looks like I might block you, I'm actually probably at my slimmest looking. I'm going to continue to go use these phrases, but optically, he chose me at like what? What would you say that angle is? Like a
45-ish degree angle.
That's the exact number I was thinking about, and it did not. If you want to see it, at Right or Wrong FAN, I also retweeted it, at 923 the fan. Why did I give 923 the fan?
I don't know. You are Nick Wilson Says.
Maybe it's that burger. Maybe I'm way down.
If you would have had a second, you would have got it right.
Or I'd be in the hospital. One of those two things.
You would not be in the hospital. A second burger was not putting you in the hospital. Now, a second burger every time might. But that was a joyous, momentous occasion.
That's true.
And you didn't get a second burger. I think you missed an opportunity.
Why sully a great moment by worrying about what your cardiologist will think?
That's how I live my life.
But you guys can see it at Nick Wilson Says on social media. Of course, social media reactions brought to you on X powered by Scheib & Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Let's see here. The Browns won on Sunday. Feeling better?
A little bit. It's more of a, I don't feel worse than I did before, but I don't think that in watching that game, the things that stuck out to me were Kevin Stefanski, I thought, did a much better job week two than he did week one. I thought Deshaun Watson was much better week two than week one. Mm-hmm. And I also thought, wow, Jacksonville's really bad. Like the Jacksonville Jaguars looked like a really bad football team. And I don't think the Browns looked great. I thought they looked better. But and part of it could be the Browns defense is, I still think, a really good unit that didn't have a great day against Dallas. And that's part of Jacksonville's struggles. But they just looked like a team that's very poorly coached right now, too.
It's so funny you say that, because it was for like the first quarter, everyone was like, man, this is great. The Browns are rolling here. This thing's going to be over by halftime. And somewhere in between the first and second quarters, it devolved into, well, Jacksonville's just not that good. And it drove me crazy. It upset me, because when Dallas was just running all over your ass, nobody went, maybe Dallas is just that good. By the way, they're not just that good. You had a really bad day. But my point is, there is something where we are, and this is like a big, 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 big picture thing. So trying to explain it in 15-minute increments just ain't going to work. So I'm going to try and distill it to the finest point here. But where we are is, the slightest glimmer of hope is dissected and torn apart and ripped apart, especially if it has to go with Deshaun Watson. And then the slightest glimmer of negativity is amplified to such a degree. And that's what's so wild to me, is I do think it spoke to, I think there was a lot of people waiting and seeing. Let's see how they go out there against Dallas. And then the second it went poorly, it's just every feeling, every inkling, every concern of the last 2 years just flipped a switch. And it was wild to me, because in previous history, a win subverts that, pauses that, whatever. I do think it's been paused to some degree. But man, to see it, like, to see the Jacksonville game, which the Browns could have won 30-0, in part because of Deshaun's performance. But people then reverting to, well, you only scored one touchdown, or Deshaun didn't throw for passes. That is a level of cynicism and outrage that I never thought I would see in Brownstown, USA.
Right, and I do think part of it is we have standards now. Like in, 5 years ago, just winning that game is a huge success, where now that's the expectation. You're supposed to win those types of games. And I think that the glimmer of hope versus, or the glimmer of a good thing versus the glimmer of a bad thing, is a really interesting conversation to have, because I do think that we've seen a lot of glimmers of hope with Deshaun Watson over the, what now, 14 games that he's played in a Browns uniform. It's just that they've been glimmers and not consistent. Where we, on the defensive side of the football, I think we've seen some glimmers of some not so great things, but overall it's been a pretty good experience starting at the beginning of last year going to now. It's been a pretty good experience.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I do think people are more apt to be positive about what we saw defensively, because that's more in line with a lot of the good things we saw last year, where the good things that Deshaun Watson did do on Sunday, and he certainly did do some good things, he did some not so good things as well, but those good things, I think we'll start to focus on those more once it becomes more of a consistent thing. Once we can believe that that's going to happen week in and week out.
So this kind of does tie in with what we're planning on talking about in this segment, because you mentioned the 14 game thing, which I really do understand all the levels to why people are frustrated with the situation, and why people might be frustrated with Deshaun, and why we're frustrated. And you know, I really do understand it, but it is wild to me that I'm used to people talking about the Browns or the Browns quarterback situation with a lack of nuance. I'm just not used to it being in Cleveland. And it has been interesting to me. And, you know, we had Jason on, I believe that was yesterday, time is a flat circle. But we had Jason on yesterday, and he's just to the point where if it doesn't clear the bar of, is this why you traded for Deshaun Watson, then it's not good enough. And I understand that it has been 3 years. It hasn't even been a full season of football games. And every single season has told a different story. So in my mind, I think there is a part of me that's like, all right, I'm going to give this a chance, because if you think about what has happened, it's not really 14 games. It's 6 games at the end of 11 game suspension. That's rust. Last year, he actually did play pretty well, all things considered. It just wasn't elite level. And then he was back and he played his best football while dealing with a shoulder injury. And so to this year, I had already come in with lowered expectations, not because of Deshaun, but because of a new offense and a new offensive line and new sets and spread features. It doesn't seem like anybody else is, I don't want to say anybody else, that's unfair. I'm surprised at the amount of hardliners of, until it rises above this level here, we're not having any conversation other than this guy sucks, the Browns suck, whether those two things are true or not. I just think that's interesting. Again, I'm not judging. Oh, by the way, there's another thing going on here that the NFL itself, the offensive, it pretty much stunk across the board.
Right. That is not a Cleveland-specific thing. And passing in specific has stunk across the board. I don't know that it's offense so much as it's passing, because there are some places where I think running teams have had success running the football. The Browns necessarily haven't been one of them the way we would hope them to be. Maybe that gets fixed later on, but there have been teams that have had that sort of success. I do think it is nuanced with Deshaun what expectations and standards are for him. Like, my expectations for Deshaun this year are very low, but that doesn't mean that I have to be happy if he passes those super low expectations, because my expectations for him overall when they made the trade were much higher than anything I think he's still capable of attaining right now. And that, for me, ultimately, I'm not judging Deshaun on a game-to-game basis, because what he did this past Sunday was good enough. I don't know if that same exact performance is going to be good enough week in, week out, especially when you get to playoff time, which this should be a playoff team. They have the talent to get there. I don't know if that's going to be good enough, but my standard for him is not that high. But if he passes it, then I'm going to say, okay, you've shown me you can do this. I need to see you play at the level I expected when the Browns made the trade now. And that's when I start to get to really judging him.
So it's funny you say that. I viewed this season as a series of benchmarks. And it is apparent to me 2 weeks in, very few other people do. Like, it is, the benchmark is absolute, and if you do anything other than that, the accusation becomes you're a Deshaun apologist, or, you know, it's the new Baker bro of weaponizing your fandom or your thought to try and bully people into things. And again, I understand why. This is not a criticism. It's more of an observation that is fascinating to me every second. And it's not everybody. Because I think there is half the fan base that's willing to have a conversation about week to week, let's grade this. But like, as low as the bar was, you're 100% right. He cleared the bar. Be playable. Week one, he was not playable.
No.
And then week two, I think he was actually more than playable. And he showed you a lot of the things he didn't show you in week one.
I thought week one, he was so bad that's why the conversation got to the point that it did. Because if week one, he would have been just a little bit better and still maybe unplayable, but just a little bit better. Like, I didn't see flashes week one to give me any reason to believe that he was going to turn it around. I saw those flashes on Sunday. He had good moments on Sunday. Like I said, it wasn't all good. I would very much like for him to be smarter at the end of the game than he was, but I saw flashes to think, okay, he can at least do this. Where against Dallas, it was bad news all around. Yeah,
the reason you lost to Dallas.
I
would put him number one with a bullet.
He was a big reason why. I think a lot of other things went wrong too, but he was a big reason why, yes.
And then when we look at Jacksonville, to me, and I hate stuff like game managing quarterbacks, and I'm just going to keep pounding on this one because it's a placeholder. It doesn't mean anything. Like, game manager does not mean anything anymore because it's been bastardized in three or four different ways. It means a guy who does not have the physical talent to take over games, right? A la Brock Purdy. Meaning you just have to play within yourself and you just have to let everybody else do the heavy lifting.
Sure.
Then there is, all right, game manager. All right, well, just don't screw the game up. All right, well, okay, that means a little bit different than of somebody who has playmaking skills but is really predicated on everybody else to get things done. And so there's like three or four different iterations of it. I didn't see a game manager on Sunday. That's what kills me, is like, game managers don't make the sideline throw to Jerry Jeudy. Game managers don't make the David Lee Roth split. I'm just going to keep mentioning the same three throws all week. But there were more than those three throws. There were six or seven plays in that game that were creative on-the-fly plays. That is what you traded for.
Yeah.
So I get that the what you traded for was 300 yards a game and, you know, 30 passing touchdowns a year and another 5 to 8 running touchdowns and Super Bowls. I get that. You can't, it's week two. You can't do that.
Right.
And again, I hate to say unfair because of what Deshaun is accused of and the fact that through 3 years, the dividends are just not there for what you've traded for. At the same point, at some point you're weaponizing expectations and a huge contract against a guy trying to get right.
And I do think if you want to be completely fair about this conversation, I almost think you need to wait until October, because what the football across the league has developed into in the entire month of September, and I know it counts, but this is kind of turned into preseason for a lot of teams.
Not just kind of. I think for everybody it's turning into preseason.
So that I do think needs to be factored in. Now, that doesn't mean he can go out against the Cowboys and look like someone who doesn't belong in the NFL and we have to be okay with it. But I also do think if you want to make a full and complete assessment of him, you should probably wait until October. You should probably wait through four games. And then I think that's when you start to say, okay, this guy has shown these flashes. This guy can be good, or this guy stinks. But I think that's probably the fairest way to do this.
I just think it's interesting that the most recent thing you've seen of him is the thing that people then expect of him. You know what I mean? Like,
it's because our sample size with him in a Browns uniform is so small. And because of when you go through an off season, or I guess it wasn't off season, it happened last November, but when you have surgery on your throwing shoulder, I don't think people can count on the things you did before, because you become such an unknown when you've played as little football as he's played in the last 3 years, when you have surgery on your throwing arm. I think it is, for a lot of people, myself included, that game against Dallas was, okay, this is just who Deshaun Watson is now. And I get why.
But what's crazy about that is that was so much worse than what we saw in any game last year.
Sure.
But so like that's what's so insane about it. I hear what you're saying. You are right about recency bias and the collective toll of everything. But like, he actually did like the five games last year. We're not counting Indianapolis. He played two series. We don't talk about that.
But that's a PJ Walker win.
Yeah, but the five games he did play, every single one of them cleared the bar of the Dallas game. And I just think that's an important thing to notice. That's that context we're talking about. And again, all I'm saying is, because like the big question you and I are going to start the show with is, can the Browns win with Sunday's version of Deshaun? And I before we even launch into that, the reality is that's not what I'm expecting for 17 games in 18 weeks. Is it acceptable now? Yes. But once you clear the platform and gain some sort of consistency, that's when expectations should take it up. But we're not even getting there.
Right. Like if Deshaun Watson continues to play the way that he played against Jacksonville, that then becomes the bar he needs to clear. Those expectations raise. Him playing at that level at a certain point isn't good enough anymore. Right now it is, because the Browns won, and for the next couple of weeks it is, because you look at the schedule and it's filled with cupcakes. But we're going to get to a certain point where we are going to need to expect and see more from him.
216-474-0092. Can the Browns win with Sunday's version of Deshaun Watson? I think a lot of people made like, well, they went from 10 down the field attempts to 4 this week. That's about Deshaun. I don't know that that is. I think you mentioned the idea of preseason football and the NFL viewing September as a soft launch, specifically on offense. I don't think you can separate it.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Any of the three conversations, Deshaun at large, the early offense with Deshaun, and the early offense around the NFL.
Right. Like, I do think some of my concerns with Deshaun and throwing the ball deep last week were how off target some of those misses were. Yes. Like the one CeeDee Lamb caught on the Dallas sideline.
Yeah.
That was like 5 to 7 yards out of bounds. Like,
and CeeDee was actually in the city of Dallas when he caught it.
Basically. Yes. That was my concern. Not that he wasn't necessarily connecting, but this is something that's happening across the league. Like, this is not a Brown specific thing. This is not a Deshaun Watson specific thing. Passing yardage is down. Offense is down. Passing touchdowns are way down through 2 weeks than they were 3, 4, 5 years ago. It's not quite as far down from last year, but I do think, and I thought it was interesting what Deshaun had to say. I thought it was interesting what Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski had to say about the subject earlier too. But teams are playing, I think, a little bit more conservatively on the back end where they've got two high safeties. They're not taking as many risks. I don't think they're playing as much man coverage on the outside as they used to. And I think that leads to sort of having to take what the defense is giving you, which is no fun and nobody ever wants to do. And it leads to these long plodding drives like the Browns had a couple of on Sunday. But sometimes that's how you have to win. And it's going to be interesting to me to see if the Browns can continue to win that way without having explosive plays be part of their explosive passing plays, I should say, be part of their recipe.
Yeah, I mean, I think you saw it even in Kansas City. A lot of pressure on let's get Xavier Worthy the ball 10 yards out and see if that excessive speed can cut across the middle and shake free a couple defenders and turn into a 50-yard play. They did it with Rashee Rice. They've done it with, I mean, they've pretty much done it with everybody, even now that Pacheco is on the IL. But I do think it's interesting, like, because I think the same thing that I thought about the offense on Sunday, which is that's good enough to win now, but by the end, you're going to need to evolve. You need to grow this thing to where you can get more comfortable taking those shots down the field. And the same thing about the NFL. I think one of the, I think it's really hard not to fall into the trap of that September haze in general. Which, oh, should Baltimore panic? Not at 0-2.
No.
We get to 0-3, it's a little bit more of a conversation. They got Buffalo and I think Cincy. Those, you start 0-4 and that's a quarter of your season, you got to dig out of that hole.
If you're 0-4, you're pressing the panic button.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are. If you are 0-4, you are pressing the panic button. It's not impossible to dig out of that hole, just like it's not impossible to dig out of an 0-2 hole the way that Baltimore and Cincy both are right now, but you don't feel good about yourself. Like, yeah. I would much rather be the Browns right now than either of those teams just because the Browns have a win, and as we know, they're really hard to find in this league.
But if you and I said, would you rather go 0-4 in September or 0-4 in December, 10 times out of 10, you're taking the 0-4 in September.
Not even a discussion. So, like, this is the preseason for all intents and purposes. If you lose these games, you can make it up. You can't do that at the end of the year.
Well, and, like, your options are to do what I think, one, it benefits Pittsburgh because this is the only gear Pittsburgh has. So this could end up being Pittsburgh's Super Bowl as starting 2-0 because as offenses start to adapt, it's going to put more pressure on that defense. And the more pressure you have on that defense, the more pressure then goes to your offense to start making big plays. And I don't know that's coming. And that's somebody who really likes Justin Fields. But I think through the air, you're going to have to start making those plays, and they're going to be in the same situation that they've been the last couple years. But I do think, like, you know, it comes back to that conversation of can the Browns win with that Deshaun on Sunday that you saw on Sunday? The answer is yes. Can they win a Super Bowl without more from Deshaun? No. But, like, well, you know, I think we try and keep putting these premature deadlines. Well, like, Deshaun's got to be good by this day. Or, if you know, if this is the make or break season, even though contractually we know that's there's a lot of things that have to happen and a lot of it's legal for that to be real. So the reality is, you know, the only there's one set of people hardlining it. It's, he's never going to do it. Well, what does that serve? Who does that? I mean, you've got 15 games to go.
Right. It's a long year.
He's out there. So, like, my thing is, one, it's not going to be linear. Progress is almost never linear in this world. Two, like, you can win the way that you're winning now because you had to win that way for a majority of last year. But the idea that the Browns through 2 weeks are capping Deshaun or they've completely regressed the offense to what it was. It was a reaction, in my opinion, to what's going on around the NFL. And it's a reaction to we've got to go ahead and button up and then be selective of those chances to take, knowing 5 weeks from now, you have to take three or four more chances. And 3 weeks after that, another three or four chances after that.
And I think those chances become easier to take the more you can learn about opposing defenses and the more you can learn about certain checks that teams will have to various formations and the way they handle certain route concepts. That stuff you don't necessarily know at the start of the season because you haven't seen it. But as you start to see it from just a coaching and game planning point of view, the Browns will be able to be more creative offensively when they have a better grasp of what teams want to do against them defensively. It's much easier, I think, to game plan as an offensive coach than it is a defensive coach. And I think we will see that as the season goes on with Kevin Stefanski. And I think that is, if Deshaun Watson's going to play the same exact game he played against Jacksonville, I think that can look better, even if his level of performance doesn't go up at all, just because the Browns can scheme differently when they know more about the defenses they're facing.
Do you think that people actually realize Deshaun actually made a lot of plays on Sunday?
I think people do realize. I mean, the one play that everyone's going to keep coming back to is it was not a big gain. It was like 5 yards, that throw to Jerry Jeudy on the sideline where he escaped pressure. He looked like the guy that the Browns traded for. Like, that is who the Browns traded for, except in Houston, that might have been a little bit of a deeper throw. Again, that's not on him, but it was a great play. He made some of those plays, and I do think people realize that. But I think the play that's going to stick with people is the blunder he made at the end of the game after the Browns had. I think that is something that's going to stick with people. I know for me, all that physical stuff is great, but at the quarterback position, I need you to be as sharp mentally as you can be. And that was a moment where I didn't think he was. So that's something that concerns me.
So maybe this is because, you know, I watched Jalen on Monday Night Football or Sunday Night. It was Monday Night Football, right?
Yeah, they played Monday.
Time is a flat circle. But I was watching Jalen, and Jalen was doing a lot of the things I saw Deshaun do, which was he was staying in the pocket, and then the second it broke, he was just doing the thing. I mean, running for large swaths of time, just trying to buy time. And I saw that more because I think sometimes Deshaun's mobile, but he only had 20 yards. That's not what to me constitutes mobile. Mobile to me means when you are moving, you have an elusivity that allows you to get on the run and gives you more time to make the play. And I'll be honest with you, I think he did that pretty consistently on Sunday, whether it added to points or not.
I think you're looking for a play extender. That's what Deshaun Watson showed on Sunday. And I actually do think for all the things Deshaun Watson did bad against the Cowboys and better against Jacksonville this past Sunday, I thought his pocket presence was the thing that improved the most. Like, I was so much happier with the way that he handled himself inside the pocket against the Jaguars than he did when he was bailing out of clean pockets and looked like he was playing against 13 guys and all of them were rushing the passer against the Cowboys. So that was the area where I thought he improved the most. But that play extension aspect of things is super important because that's where I think Deshaun, throughout his career, has been at his best. When things break down, he can go make something happen. Now, if you could just hope to pair that sort of break glass in case of emergency aspect of his game with playing better in structure, then I think you can start talking about a good quarterback again.
What's crazy about it is I felt like, and maybe this is, again, recency bias of my own, I thought I saw more of that making plays on the move on Sunday, like consistently. Right? And even when the plays didn't happen, drop here, right? Just wrong read, throw the ball away, whatever it was. I felt like I saw that more on Sunday than I have in any game I can remember previously. And I can't understate how big of a development that is, because that's where Deshaun makes the magic.
Well, and think about the games that he had good games in last year, because it wasn't all of them that he played, but he had a few good games. So look back at that. Maybe that Tennessee game is the one he did that a little bit. That Arizona game where he looked awesome last year, that Cardinals team was a JV NFL team. He did not have to do anything outside of structure. That team was that bad. That Baltimore game, he made plays outside of structure, but you don't have a ton to choose from. So this very well could have been the game where it was the most he did that, but it's not as if there is a sterling reputation of him doing that in a Browns uniform beforehand.
I will say, I think the speed around him with Jerry Jeudy and Elijah helps. Luigi! There's no other way to say the name Luigi than that. Sorry, Luigi. Saying on Twitter, the advantage the Browns have in playing against the two high shell D is having a more mobile quarterback. Watson should take advantage when he has the opportunity. I will say, I think those plays, extending plays, like, if we want to talk about, like, what's next, what am I looking for in the Jets game, that is where it starts. Continuing to get comfortable making plays in progress.
The Giants game.
Did I say the Jets?
You did, Deshaun.
Deshaun inceptioned me. That's what happened. Because I'm looking at the schedule. It says it's the New York.
That's the Giants logo.
It's the New York Giants logo. And I'm saying Jets because Deshaun called him the Jets earlier today, too.
He did.
Son of a biscuit. So how about you? What is the extent? Because, again, everyone's going to say, throw for 300 yards. Yeah, that'd be great. That's obvious.
No, that's not happening. I don't think that's happening with where Deshaun is at. I don't think that's happening with defenses that the NFL. I just don't think NFL defenses are allowing that right now. I think, for me, a good day on Sunday for Deshaun Watson is looking better than he did against Jacksonville. I don't think there's numbers that quantify that. I think this is an eye test thing.
See, the problem with because I hear you, and I trust you to make the eye test. The problem is everybody's eyes aren't grading. Everybody's eyes appear to be grading on a different curve.
Well, they just have to listen to me. That's the point. Just listen to what I say, and you'll know.
Guys, just listen to Danny, and you'll be okay.
The world would be better if that was what everyone did.
Show your work. I've had to use that in a minute, but show your work.
I mean, when have I been wrong?
When have you been right?
Every other time.
So you're 50%. You're like the Johnny Manziel of completion percentage.
All right, let's not go there.
Well, not 50%. That's about what he passed for in the NFL.
It's a great batting average. Hall of Famer. Greatest
of
all time.
So we're switching sports?
Yeah.
All right. Well, in baseball, you only hit 250. Sorry, Michael Martinez. That was a low blow.
He did not hit 250.
Yeah, he hit 197. Ugh. And then it was the final at bat.
Don't remind me.
World Series. Oh, no, Miles Straw's back. Don't worry.
Thank goodness, yeah.
Because you know,
I mean, great performance last night. Really glad his base running was spectacular.
Got to get him back. Some ABs against lefties, I always say. One of my best friends in the world was like, as I was just basically sending out a warning shot that if this Jagaloon is on the roster in October, I'm going to have a Texas-sized meltdown. My best friend, who's in the Marines, great guy, loves baseball as much as I do, was like, glad to see Miles is back. And I was like, I think our friendship's over.
There's no way he's going to be on the playoff roster, right? No way.
But don't you have that Michael Martinez feeling? Because there were times where he said
Michael Martinez was around all year. Michael Martinez wasn't found in September.
Was he?
Believe so. I'm pretty sure he was on the roster all year.
Every time that he walked up to the plate, I didn't know if it was actually a person or if it was like, or if he was real, given the way he approached bats. I thought I had a better follow through on that one. That was not a great follow through. We actually do have to talk about the Kwan injury here in a moment. But I think it's interesting. The other big thing we took away from the first two games of the season was the Browns' penalties. And Kevin Stefanski actually talked about that earlier today, about the importance of cutting down penalties.
We have to play clean. We have to play clean with our technique. We have to be way, way, way better pre-snap. There is a difference between pre-snap penalties and post-snap penalties, obviously. The pre-snap penalties should be easily correctable. The post-snap, there's going to be some calls that we get called for a holding that we don't feel is a real strong call or those type of things. But when you get into the fourth quarter, to your question, both sides are tired, but you can't let your technique lapse when you're tired.
I think it's a real, real coinkydink that I spent all offseason saying, man, this Bill Callahan thing feels like a real big loss for the Cleveland Browns. And I know there are injuries, but 2 weeks in, the offensive line has not played well and they've not been consistent, and you have now had to change up considerably what you did from week one to week two just simply to get more protection for Deshaun.
Right, and I don't think when Bill Callahan was here, I don't think we had as many pre-snap penalties. And granted, they're not all on the offensive line. Some things are being called a little bit differently. Like there have been some illegal shifts that does not pertain to the offensive line that was not a penalty last year. All of a sudden this year it is a penalty for some reason. That's just how the NFL operates. But what Bill Callahan, I think, did was he always got the most out of everybody that was starting. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean he made everybody great, but he got everybody to their potential. And I don't think that's been the case so far. I don't believe that is what has been the case. So I do think in Cleveland, but I don't know. And I think we can talk about this better once we see Jedrick Wills Jr. and Jack Conklin playing, because if we're being honest, his offensive line is playing with a hand tied behind its back right now too.
I'm willing to say, small sample size, I am. But there were people with shows in this town, one of them was in the morning, love you Ken, who said, that's not that big of a loss. And my rebuttal every time was, well, let's see what it looked like in September. So I'm willing to sit here and say, all right, you got time. You know, their assistant O-line coach came from Philly. That's a place where you want to learn how to be an O-lineman. Andy Dickerson has been trained by the very best, you know, was the apprentice to some of the best O-line coaches. So this is less to say these guys don't know what they're doing. And this is more to say my initial take, 7 months ago, is you can hire a really, really good offensive line coach. But if you have the best or second best in the NFL, the gap between the 10th best O-line coach and the second best is immense.
Yes.
Because the product coming into the NFL is just not, I mean, these guys are coming to the NFL with so much less experience, so much less technique, so much less coaching, because it's just, well, just go out there and just play and move, and they're just not coming to the NFL at the same level.
No, they are not in that position. I think is the one that needs, other than quarterback, produces the fewest NFL ready players right away. And I think that we have been able to overlook that a little bit because you look at what the Browns were able to do last year, particularly with DeJuan Jones, but that's not the norm. That is something that is an outlier. So to expect this group who, you know, is, like I said, playing with a hand tied behind their back, expect them to be great right away, I think is a little unfair, but I'm also not confident they're going to get to where they need to be.
And I think that's what's interesting is I'm cool to say, maybe it's a little early to say, well, but what about Bill Callahan? We don't have that much more time before that's a real conversation. I want to be clear again. It's not about the guys that are here. It's about the loss that you had when you had one of the two best offensive line coaches in the NFL.
And I think this is a conversation where it can get late real early.
Oh, I like that. It's a nice little play on words.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.